Thank you, Paul. Thank you, musicians. I don't sing well. That's kind of the end of that story. But what I do make lack in quality, I generally make up for in volume. And I've had to tone it back. I've sung so much, so loud, I'm about to lose my voice for preaching. And man, I have enjoyed the worship and the music so much this week. It has been a joy. I'm trying to convince my parents to come out with me next year. I know there's so many that would love this out here. Friends, turn with me, if you will, to Acts 15, verses 36 through 41. And stand with me, if you will, for the reading of God's word. Acts 15, 36 through 41. As we continue our investigation of the activities of the Holy Spirit and leadership of the Holy Spirit in Acts. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We've talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit in power, and the Spirit on the move, the Spirit beyond our control, the Spirit working in surprising ways. This morning and tomorrow morning, Brother Snowden will be preaching this evening. I'll be looking at threats to the church. What are some of the obstacles that jumped up to this early movement where it, if you were living through it, it had to seem like the future of this movement, of the expansion of this early church, really might be hanging in the balance, because all of our churches, all of our families, all of us have been through times where it sure seems like our future may be hanging in the balance. By what do you judge what is possible in the world? When you face the situation, when we face a future, when we face uncertainty, what resources do you believe are available to shape and create reality? What sources of power shape what you believe is possible in the world? It's so often in life that our vision of what we think is possible, what resources we see as available to us, all that vision shrinks to what we can see and hear, what social media or the 24-hour news tells us, what our bank account tells us, what doctors tell us. And it shapes how we think and determines how we hope. But this is an important question, because there will be situations that arise in your life. We can tell stories of those that have in our past where we had to make some decisions on what we believed was possible. Was the sum total of what our senses told us it, or was there more available? For those that believe in the power of the name of Jesus, the question of how we judge what is possible in the world is a crucial question, a deeply personal and theological question. What resources do we believe can be brought to bear on any and every situation? And do we live as if the power of God is in the world through the Holy Spirit and ready to work in any and all circumstances? Do we spend our days looking for the unexpected and surprising ways the Spirit may show up? Do we expect the Holy Spirit to transform obstacles to opportunities? There will be moments, that seasons, that force us to decision on what power we believe is available in creation, what we believe is possible. I don't preach about this much yet because it's still rather fresh, but my daughter's often in the congregation and is not ready for this, but went through experienced a traumatic brain injury a few years ago, 2.5 years ago. January 1st, 2022, Kelly and I sat in a hospital room with a neurosurgeon and a neurologist and looked at a scan where the latter two-thirds of the left hemisphere of our 9-year-old's brain showed signs of completely stroking out. And once you pull yourself up off the floor, you've got to make a decision. What power was available in the world to work in my daughter's life and to work in this situation? It was deeply theological and deeply personal. I'll tell a little bit more of that tomorrow. I'm going to see her in a play where she's memorized a whole lot of lines on Saturday night. And so the end of that story is truly miraculous. I won't leave you hanging on that part. Today's text is a story that if we were living it in real time, if we were there, don't you think you had to wonder if you were there, if the future of this missionary endeavor, if this experiment in all of these differing people from differing backgrounds with differing beliefs being unified together, if this whole deck of cards that had been, house of cards that had been stacked up was about to fall? Because if Paul and Barnabas can't get along, if they're splitting, then what's the hope for the rest of us? This takes place just sometime, rather soon after the Jerusalem Council. The Jerusalem Council had been one of those high, holy, hopeful moments where people with differing opinions came together, these leaders of the early church, to determine whether the Spirit's work in people like Cornelius and the Ethiopian eunuch and other places where the Holy Spirit was coming down on the Gentile, were they going to recognize this as legitimate or not? And were they going to ask these Gentiles to follow the whole Jewish law, circumcision, diet, the whole thing, like some of the Judaizers, which Brad talked about earlier? Or were they going to say the Holy Spirit coming is enough? And then they debate and it all comes together and they choose to allow the Gentiles in to this new movement. Some days after this, as we read, Paul and Barnabas begin to prepare to visit all of those churches they had started on their first journey together, presumably to encourage them, to help them grow in the faith, to continue them on, let them know of this news from Jerusalem that was good news for so many of them. Paul and Barnabas have deep history together, years and years of serving together. When Paul was first converted, when Saul was first converted to Paul, before he was called Paul, when he was mistrusted by the apostles in those earliest days after his conversion, and the earliest Christians, he was mistrusted for being that persecutor of the church. It's Barnabas that first takes Saul, who will be Paul, to Jerusalem and introduces him around to those early leaders. Sometime later, those leaders sent Barnabas to go find Paul back in Tarsus, where he grew up, where he had been doing ministry kind of off the grid for quite some time, and bring him back to Jerusalem. That time, John Mark also accompanies him. Starting in chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas are missionary companions. They're partners on this journey, and they're traveling and preaching and performing signs and wonders, and it's this powerful time. They're facing the hardship of travel, and they're facing opposition, and they're also seeing people come to know the Lord, and miracles happen, wondrous things. At the Jerusalem Council, they stand back to back and face down those who would deny the Spirit's movement in their ministry. I mean, they've been through the fire together. And now we're ready to start this new journey together. Let's get the band back together and do it all again. But Barnabas wants to take John Mark, maybe a cousin of his, maybe. Some believe that. Mark had been with them on their first journey, but backed out part of the way through. No details given on why, and so Paul thought it best, maybe thinking of Jesus' words back in Luke 9, where Jesus said that no one should turn back once they've hitched themselves to the plow. Later in Galatians, Paul will insinuate the break over this was a doctrinal dispute of some sort. Whatever the cause, a serious break has occurred. The text says there arose a sharp disagreement. The Greek implies, deeply at our core felt irritation and anger. This is no light squabble. This is cutting to the bone. Paul and Barnabas decide their disagreement is so deep they can't do this together anymore. And after years of healthy and fruitful partnership in the gospel work, trailblazers together, all of it is done away with over this argument. Takes us back to that question, by what do we judge what is possible in the world? And honestly, if you're there in the moment, y'all, some of us have been through this. When our churches split, when our family divided, when we got offended by friends or others, what seems possible is defeat. What was possible was the biggest black eye yet in the history of the church. What seemed possible was this whole delicate stack or house of cards, like I said, of this experiment of all these differing people being unified together. All of that sure looks like it could crumble. But again, because if Barnabas and Paul can't figure it out, what hope do the less mature among them have? We all have those moments, those seasons, where much hangs in the balance. Where what is possible seems mostly bleak, where what is possible or probable doesn't seem hopeful in the least according to our senses, according to virtually every human measurement. Situations, seasons where we wonder, is this the moment where we fail? Is this the moment where we come undone? Is this the season where we don't make it? Times we wonder, seasons we go through where we ask, can anything good come from this? The obstacles too big, our own limitations too overwhelming, our mistakes too costly, the challenges too great. We know that it's in precisely these moments where we need God the most, our lowest moments, our dangerous moments, our embarrassing moments, our tragic moments, because we know that in these moments, if anything is good is to come from it, it must be the work of the Holy Spirit because we are at our end. Remember what we have learned in Acts thus far. The Holy Spirit can and will use all things for the good of the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit can and you will use all people for the good of the kingdom of God, the furthering of the kingdom of God. In the calculus of the kingdom of God, obstacles are opportunities in disguise. Our mistakes and our sin and our embarrassments are the front lines where grace does its work. Even the embarrassing squabbles among Christ's church, our petty fights that divide us, can be used to multiply kingdom work. Hear this through this gospel of Acts. Nothing can stop the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our world. He is on the loose and on the move and asking us to follow. The Holy Spirit is relentless in its work to birth unthinkable blessing from impossible situations. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, some of the greatest threats to the church become powerful opportunities for the gospel to spread. Paul and Barnabas split. They can't make it work. You wonder if the whole thing's about to fall down and collapse on itself. But the Spirit instead turns this threat to an opportunity. And it leads Barnabas to take John Mark, who Paul didn't want, and they go their way. And Paul instead takes Silas and Timothy. And suddenly what was one or maybe none becomes two, and what was threatened and at question is now doubled in its effect. Friends, Baptists have done a lot to start churches and start new works over the year, but dividing to multiply remains our most effective strategy. How many of your churches or towns have multiple Baptist churches that once upon a time were one Baptist church? Both of the churches I have pastored used to be some, the people of them used to be part of another church. My first church I was in Marble Falls was the first pastor. They had been in existence less than a year. In true Baptist fashion, Baptists all over Burnett-Llano County. He got mad at other Baptists in Burnett and Llano County, and they created a bunch of Baptist refugees, so they pulled all their toys together and started their own sandbox. And within 3 years, there were more Baptists in Burnett and Llano County than there had been before. We had trouble getting along. It took some time, but the work multiplied what could have divided, what did divide, what could have destroyed so many. And undoubtedly, there was some aftermath of that that had to be dealt with. Ultimately ended up multiplying the work of God. What divides two key leaders of this early movement does not shatter Christ's church. The Holy Spirit takes what should divide and chooses to multiply. Eventually, even Paul and Barnabas become colleagues again. It's mentioned in 1 Corinthians and Colossians. Paul voices eventually his thankfulness for John Mark in 2 Timothy and Colossians and Philippians. John Mark goes on to write the Gospel of Mark. What threatened to divide serves only to multiply the work of the kingdom of God. Friends, this isn't a text that we can baptize our squabbles in. We still need to work to unity. We still need to work and find ways to fight through our disagreements and not split over them. That's not what this is saying. But it is an encouragement when we do squabble, when we do face obstacles, when we do struggle, be it in our church, our families, our world. What obstacles are you facing in your life? What challenges are facing you or your family, your church, this world, this country? We've shared some of those this week in conversation that, boy, it's threatening to send you into despair. It's threatening to make you permanently cynical. It's reducing your vision and your imagination for what you think is possible in the world because of our worry over it. Where have you sinned? Where have you fallen short of perhaps God's hope for your walk with Him in this world? What resources and power do you believe are available to shape what is possible for the future, for your future, for the future of your church, for the future of this state or this country or this world? The challenge is for us is to see what is impossible with spirit-infused eyes. With spirit-infused eyes and ears, there is a refusal to despair. There's a refusal to grow hopelessly cynical. It's hard to preach when there's a baseball team walking by. Hey guys, glad you're here. So since 97.6% of you were looking over there, I'm gonna back up 30 seconds. That was awesome. The challenge for us is to see what is possible in the world through spirit-infused eyes and ears. To look at obstacles and face situations. To look inside ourselves in the hope for our life, the life of our kids and family, and not be dragged down by sometimes the evidence of our senses, but to begin to dream and begin to hope and begin to look with those spirit-infused, God-fueled eyes of what is possible if and when the power of the Holy Spirit is poured out in that situation. With spirit-infused eyes, there's a refusal to despair. There's a refusal to opt into cynicism permanently. It's a refusal to limit our vision to what is possible in an election or the size of our bank account or shifts in culture. We see what is possible through what might be done through the power of Father, Son, Holy Spirit poured in and around and out through and around us. I mean, there can be a baptism this afternoon. What's possible by dunking someone in an old tub of water? Not much through one angle of vision, except you and I are here. We're going to observe communion tonight. What's possible through a little Welch's and stale crackers? What are the challenges and obstacles in your path? To quote, "Oh brother, where art thou?" Do not fear the obstacles in your path. What seems daunting to you? What seems bound, inevitable to divide and break the world? If we are left to our own devices, not much is possible at all, but with the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through and around us, we know the story. Lives are transformed, and the call of God comes, and forgiveness is given and received. Salvation comes home because the Spirit of God is on the move. All things are possible. The Holy Spirit can and will use all things, all situations, all people for the good of the kingdom of God. Nothing can stop the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives or in our church or in our world. May we come to view all things with Spirit-infused hearts, minds, and soul. Let me pray for us. God, we hear you in the breeze. Your Spirit is closer to us than our very breath, stirring in our midst, in our hearts, in our minds. God, every evidence in this world would shrink our vision, would throw up obstacles that seem insurmountable, would lead us away from hope and toward despair. And they would be right unless you are who you say you are, unless your Spirit really has been poured out and is on the move and beckoning us to follow. Help us to look and see and hear and dare to join where you are at work. In your name we pray. Amen.